You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Look like a little country. Some rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
You are listening to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features conversations with and the music of local musicians and traveling musicians performing in town. I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with Katara Harada, Music and Artistic Director of the Savannah Philharmonic, about, guess what, the 2025-26 season of the Savannah Philharmonic. Welcome to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Katara Harada.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
So let's get to catch up with what you've been doing. How's the summer been?
Summer was crazy. I must have done over 30-some programs over the summer, and in the worst week there would be three programs in one single week. Like, so within 7 days I was conducting three different orchestras
with three different programs.
It was insane. I don't know why my managers decided to cram everything in such a short amount of time, but it was that. It was nonstop. I took 1 week off, which was great. Just disappeared. No one knew where I was. In fact, a really funny story is my mother called me up and she said that her Instagram was broken. And I was like, your Instagram's not broken. And I said, ask her, what's going on? She's like, well, nothing's updating. And I said, Mom, you only follow two people, me and another person. Like, I haven't posted for 1 week. Your Instagram is not broken, I promise you. So I really went off the grid. I didn't check any emails. Our boss at Savannah Philharmonic, Amy Williams, was on my case to not make sure I was working. She would message me, and if I respond, she would get very angry at me. But I did the same with her, too, because she took some time off this summer. And she's been working really, really hard last season. So when she was on her break, I would message her and she would respond and I'd get mad at her. We did it to each other. But here we are. Our 25-26 season has started.
And this season has already started.
Yep.
But this season, many of the concerts now have a matinee.
Yes, we do. So we have kicked off the matinee series. We are doing four programs this season with the matinee. So we have the November program, the December program, February program, and then the season finale. So we're excited about that because in the last seven seasons that I've been here, what we have accomplished right now is the fact that there are no tickets really available for an evening at Savannah Philharmonic. I think we have a great subscriber rate of about 80-some percent. And tickets go out fast, and which is wonderful. And this is a great obstacle that we have faced. And in order to grow our crowd, we're going to, we started our matinee series. It's a test trial, but the tickets for the matinee series have been selling very, very well. And as we really look forward into what's in store in about 4, 5, 6 years with the restored Johnny Mercer Theater or the Civic Center, that capacity is going to be about 1,800 to 2,000 seats. We need to build the Savannah Philharmonic fan base to about 2,000 seats per concert. And right now at the Lucas, we have about 1,200. So doubling that gives us in a very comfortable place where when that restored new Civic Center opens, we have an audience of that size ready to go.
So there's some specific concerts that are not being given matinee performances.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically due to availability. We work very closely with SCAD and availability of the Lucas Theater. November we have the Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon, but in December, the one that I'm conducting, we're doing a matinee and evening concert on the same day. and simply because the Sunday's not available. And so those are one of the things where it's a little bit of an obstacle to figure out which days we have matinee, which days we don't, but we have to work collaboratively with our host, and it's worked out. I think 4 is a good number. We try it out this season, we try it out next season, see what the interests are. But from what I'm hearing already from our fans, you know, the matinee series is a new series, so there are seats completely open. Like, so for subscribers, maybe they've always wanted to sit at a particular spot, but that seat wasn't available during the evening. Now they have an opportunity for the matinee series to grab to that seat. So I've heard a lot of patrons say, oh, I'm switching to the matinee series because I want to get that seat. I'm also hearing from patrons, oh, I love the matinee series, I'm going to go to both that weekend, which is also great.
Yeah, yeah. And the advantage is it adds one more price point to attending the Philharmonic because, well, actually, it sort of brings back a price point because of the fact that indeed the Philharmonic sells out.
Yeah, it totally does. And it's a great opportunity for the community to be able to support the Philharmonic twice in one weekend. But it's also equally important that the orchestra gets to perform more than once. I think about the Savannah Symphony days where that orchestra perform multiple performances in one weekend in some different programs in various locations. And this community has that interest. It was that way once upon a time. So this is a great way to restore that and then bring back the memories and the history of, yes, orchestral music is something that can be sustainable twice in a weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And particularly because you look at other major orchestras and they do just that. They have two, three, sometimes 4 Absolutely. Concerts of the same program.
Yeah. No, I do a lot of it with like the top tier orchestras when I guess conduct. I have 4 performances in one week. But, you know, their budget size is different. Their audience size is different. For us to be able to do it in Savannah, 2 performances in a weekend and still have both full house, I think it's kind of a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. And so let's start into the program because of the December program. Mm-hmm. And the December program is Experience the Magic of John Williams.
Absolutely. I love John Williams. I had a great opportunity to spend a lot of time with him during my 20s. I first met him at Tanglewood, and then I got to know him there. And then after that, there were opportunities for me to assist him where he would guest conduct an orchestra and I would go to the orchestra ahead of time and then rehearse the orchestra ahead of time for him to conduct. One biggest memory that I have was when he did a concert with the Phoenix Symphony and his schedule didn't allow him to come and rehearse. So I did the rehearsal, he conducted the concert, and then the MC was Steven Spielberg. So I was in the dressing room with John Williams and Steven Spielberg. I had so many questions. This was a ball. But ever since, he has been an amazing, amazing just role model of music, musician, humanity. And just the amount of music he's able to create, amount of emotions he's able to transcend and translate and allow humans to experience through his music. It's unbelievable. He's still composing.
Right. This is a film music program.
Correct.
So all of his film music. Mm-hmm. But he also composes
serious orchestral works. I've done his tuba concerto, which is amazing. I just did the oboe concerto this summer, which did get recorded. I don't know when the release of that is. He just released his piano concerto. He's got, 2 violin concertos now, I think, with Anne-Sophie Mutter. Yeah.
Yeah.
For a 93-year-old, he's making a lot of music.
Yeah. And I was there for the world premiere of the piano concerto at Tanglewood.
At Tanglewood? Oh, how lucky. That's so cool. So I hope this doesn't age our listeners, but this year is the 50th anniversary of Jaws. And so we are celebrating Jaws by playing Jaws. other great John Williams favorite, like Schindler's List. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones, E.T., etc., etc.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, absolutely.
It's one of my favorite scores.
And, you know, Jurassic Park, again, features a big, big horn solo at the beginning.
Thank you.
The evenings look like a matinee performance, and it is all sold out.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the American Traditions Collection of Concerts, including the Great Camp Meeting Spiritual Recital featuring Kenneth Overton, baritone, on Monday, January 12th at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, 520 Washington Avenue, Savannah. More information and tickets are available at www.atcsavannah.org. The Home for the Holidays Cabaret, featuring vocalist Cecilia Rongo and Natasha Drena, with musicians Bill Smith and James Berry, offers a unique approach to holiday songs on Sunday, December 21st, from 3 to 4 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah on Troop Square. Tickets are on Eventbrite or at the door. Concert will be followed by a reception in Ron Hall. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. And then the January concert is with a group that I've talked with, and I'll have a show before that concert with them. And that is Time for Three.
Yes. They're really exciting. Nick, Charles Yang, Renan, I can't put a genre. And maybe they don't have to have a genre, because they are classically trained. They can play country, they can play rock, they can play jazz, they can play so many different kinds of musical genre. I think Time for Three is a genre of its own, and I'm very excited to bring them here with a composition by Kevin Putz, which is called Contact. This particular concerto is not just playing, but there's also singing in it, and it's really cool. I think the audience will just go bonkers, really. So, very excited to have them here in town. And then, closing out that program in January is Tchaikovsky Symphony No. 5. You know, I was thinking, you know, I was kind of looking back at what I've done over the last seven seasons. I haven't done a Tchaikovsky Symphony here. Someone else did a Tchaikovsky Symphony in the last 7 years, but it wasn't me. I was a guest conductor. And I thought, you know what? Tchaikovsky Symphony is definitely my DNA, and so I should do it. And so I put it in there. So I think this is a very, very tuneful concert, and we're going to have a great time.
Yeah, sure. Russian music in general is really part of your DNA.
It definitely is, and for some reason I thought I've done it here, and I hadn't, so I'm glad that I'm able to bring that here.
And then the February concert features Darko Budrak, who is the conductor up at Asheville, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he is a good friend of the Philharmonic. He's married to Mickey Sodergren. And so for those who know American Traditions Vocal Competition, you may know Darko. And Darko's a very fine conductor, wonderful musician, and he's conducted Savannah Philharmonic maybe twice in the past couple years. So we are excited to have him back. We have William Su, who's coming to be a guest artist for this particular concert. He's first prize winner for the Music Club's Young Artist Competition, and then one of the prizes was to be able to come and guest perform at the Savannah Philharmonic. So we're excited for
He's doing the Cesson cello concerto.
Yes.
Which is, you know, part of the canon of cello concertos.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It is, and, you know, when you think about cello concertos, most people go for Dvorak, right? And I thought about playing Dvorak, but then Joanna was going to play the Dvorak violin concerto at the beginning of the season. I thought, well, that's two Dvorak concertos in one season. That's not going to be good. So we needed some variety. So he pre-proposed the Saint-Saëns, and it's a beautiful work. It's beautiful and A minor and lovely. We closed the program with Eroica, which, you know, we could talk a whole radio episode about Eroica. But, you know, historically significant, Beethoven wrote it for Napoleon. Napoleon became Napoleon, and then Beethoven ripped it apart. So, crossed a big dedication to Napoleon, because Beethoven liked what Napoleon stood for, but didn't want him to be on the throne. So,
yeah.
It's an epic work, I think. It really features the depth and the color of the orchestra sound, the Germanic sound of Beethoven. And I feel that the orchestra and Darko is going to have a great synergy in this particular program.
And having the Saint-Saëns cello concerto here, I'm not sure if In the Wind is cello concertos or if In the Wind is Dvorak, because Hilton Head is doing the Dvorak cello concerto.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, no way. I didn't realize that.
And join us again next week for a continuation of this conversation with Katero Harada, music director and conductor of the Savannah Philharmonic.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, that ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two. Let me
let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one.